This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
You know what that means. Joining us now from the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. Sean, man, there's a lot. There's a lot to get into today. You've been all over the Avalanche this week, so I definitely want to get to what happened with Nathan MacKinnon the other night. Wow. Bednar was hot. And again, MacKinnon's not that guy. He doesn't, like, this is the craziest thing to happen to a guy like him.
Yeah. No, he's not that guy. Yeah, sure. Short answer is he's not that guy. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And the second answer to that is he's not that guy. What are you doing? And look at the replay. Look at the replay.
I mean, to me, it looked like he was going to go right past him, and then you have the defender pushing him into the goalie.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you saw what I saw. But we're not NHL officials. So, Greg, we're not qualified to see that.
How do you not, like, review that, too? And, like, you're going to kick the guy out, too. That's
well,
insane.
Well, no, they reviewed it. I just don't know to what level. Did you see the review? The review was surreal because my memory of it and the vision that struck me, I think it was 18 minutes, 20 minutes, how long it took, is that they brought an iPad or whatever ThinkPad it is into the penalty box where Nate was sitting, I think hopefully gainfully thinking that's where he would spend the next 2 minutes, if not five.
Right.
He's just sitting there, and they bring the pad in. I'm like, are they going to lecture him? Are they going to show him, like, here's what we – and maybe they did. I'm going off whatever I could see from my vantage point. It's just – I don't think I'd ever seen that. And I think somebody on TV said, well, they had to get another charger. I'm like, come on, NHL. What are we doing here? I think there was a lot of what are we doing here, and I had a lot of – As angry and heated as Jared Bednar was, some of the texts I got from my Avs fans friends were fairly hilarious, most of them un-FCC friendly. And let's just say that if you ever had a conspiracy theory about the NHL and its love for Connor McDavid and the Oilers, the Tuesday night did not help.
Yeah.
It did not dissuade that in any way.
Well, and that's the thing. Like you said, when you are reviewing this, how does that not just obviously come in front of your eyeballs and show you that he wasn't headed that way? He wasn't going for the goalie, and then you see another body behind him pushing him into the goalie.
Change actively by an opposing player, and it just became, and then tracking social media about it afterwards, and I had a lot of time to think about it before I wrote what I wrote in online yesterday and in print today, and it was sort of like I just couldn't find an angle in which Nurse wasn't involved, the Oilers defender. I just, other than the one behind the goal mouth camera where you can't see anything, but poor Ingram just getting waylaid like he's been hit by a truck, which he was, to be fair. I remember the first thought of that. So it became very partisan, as these things often do, and you had a lot of Oiler Nation immediately screaming and loudly. What's funny is you had Oiler Nation, and then you had a bunch of Stars people upset about it.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah. And because now they're the new Detroit. Now that's the blood feud. Is Dallas, Denver, and Avs and Stars for this? Is they just, oh yeah, kick him out. He's terrible. Get him out. You start getting this. I'm like, oh, Dallas and Edmonton against everybody. But anybody who was kind of neutral in this looked at that, because I don't always trust my eyes. Anybody social media neutral wise who wasn't team affiliated looked at that and said, That's two, and that's a change of direction caused by the defender, and then they apparently, according to Cale Makar, their explanation to the Avs was, well, he didn't change it enough. And again, at full speed, he's going. But we're used to seeing Nate being basically a comet trail all the time everywhere he goes. But there's no way that anytime you slow that down, you don't see that that path is changed by the defender. And to be not generous to Nurse, basically he throws his own guy into another guy into his own goalie, basically. So you saw what I saw, but our word is not official.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. Sean, how serious is this silence from the Broncos right now? I mean, they're bringing all their guys back. They're saying, hey, we love this roster. We love this group. But I thought with Russell Wilson money going away, this was going to be at least an opportunity to take some shots, at least. I mean, they don't always work out. Look at Dre Greenlaw. That didn't work out, but
right. You
have money to play with. You didn't have money necessarily. You figured out a way to do it. And then this is the year you're not going to risk throwing out a couple of gambles and see what happens?
Sean Payton's argument, I think he talked about garage sales and knowing there's a reason that guys are quote, on the on the front lawn at this time of year. I don't know if that's a perfect parallel, because that's kind of more like June, July free agents, right? Like, those guys are out on the lawn because they're trying to get stuff figured out. They took three big swings last year at this time. Two of them weren't great. But Hufanga was. That worked out really well. You have arguably the best safety tandem in the AFC in all football. So it comes down to four words that I think fans, you have to give Peyton and Peyton, the law firm, as I call it, the benefit of the doubt for what they've done and where they're at. This is still a 10-11 win team on paper if it's got Bo Nix healthy, knock on wood, cross fingers. It comes down to two things. Rookie contract in the case of Nix, because you want to be aggressive theoretically while you've got a guy who's undervalued and cheap relative to his value. And then close games. They were 12-2 in those last year, right? And I think they were 1-6 or 1-5 in them the year before, because it's crazy volatile. You just don't get that in this league the same way year after year. It's not just the Chiefs example. I cited the Broncos right there. It's just extremely volatile and variable. And Sean Payton says, well, I get that. I know that. We're not going to win 12 close games again. We just got to try to win 5 or 6. And I'm like, hey, well, if you get half of them, you know, that's only 8 relative to the wins you got in the regular season. So I think that's what gets people nervous. It's certainly the rookie contract window, because everyone knows after 2027, you know, if everything's right and it's trending right, presuming his health, Bo Nix is not going to be cheap anymore. Franchise quarterbacks are not cheap. Look at the decisions the Bengals are having to make right now. It's not a pleasant place in Cincinnati. Their joy doesn't last long anyway, because they have the most unserious ownership in pro sports. So that's maybe a bad example, but it's an example nonetheless that when those guys come off those rookie contracts, you need to have a lot of other things in place, or ideally you want to take advantage as aggressively as you can financially in that window. And let's be real, they're not being aggressive. They're being, I think, did they say cautiously aggressive or strategically aggressive was the words they used? They couched that word, and people went, oh, they said aggressive. Well, they're definitely being strategic, and they're shopping for bargains again at a time when you're that close to a Super Bowl. I think the fan frustration, which is understandable, and some of the media frustration too, to be fair, is that you were a quarterback's health away. You were maybe a player and a half away from the Super Bowl, and you were 3 points and a healthy quarterback away from the Super Bowl, to be blunt. So why are you not adding just that one big piece, that one big wide receiver two or wide receiver one, or that one big RB1, so that if you have to run Stiddy, so if Stiddy has to hand off in January again, he can hand off to Kenneth Walker and not hand off to, you know, RJ or Jaleel or have to throw a little John Humphrey. I think that frustration is valid, but at the same time, I think the floor is high. You're not broken. Why are you trying to fix something that isn't broken? But I think it can be improved, and it can. You need to buy insurance on worst case scenarios to stay in this Super Bowl window and in this rookie contract window for Bo Nix, and they haven't done it yet. And I think it puts a lot of pressure on Davis Webb. I think it puts a lot of pressure on the draft to come, and they've made those decisions. I don't agree with all of them, but I can't argue that they're trending in the right direction so far.
Well, I mean, it sounds like they were in conversations with a handful of these big-name guys.
No, that's the White Sox argument.
They weren't even in conversations?
We were at the table. Yeah, we were at the table with Manny Machado. We were at the table with – we had a seat at the table with Bryce Harper. That's White Sox excuse.
So they were never close to, like, even a Travis Etienne or anything like that?
Oh, I don't know how close they were. I'm not going to – I mean, you get people telling you that they were really, really close. They wanted to – and if nothing else, you want to keep these guys out of your rival's hands. I mean, that's the Saints aren't a rival, and you know, good luck to him, whatever. But Kenneth Walker, that's your problem now. That's in your neighborhood.
Yep.
You've got to see that. So there's such a thing as defensive signings. In defensive, I don't mean on defense. I mean in terms of keeping them out of people you got to play twice a year. But they didn't do that, and I don't think Sean believes in that. I don't think Sean believes in big money for tailbacks. I don't think he believes in big money for certain safeties. I don't think he believes in big money for a lot of wideouts out there. And I think George Payton agrees with him. So, okay, this better be a heck of a draft because you don't have big holes, but you have depth concerns, and you just don't have that insurance. If you had a big time tailback, you can say that that's not good value for your money. It's not. None of this stuff is. Free agency is awful value for the dollar. It's not value shopping. It's luxury shopping. But we just saw a team that if it loses its starting quarterback is not a Super Bowl team. And let's just be blunt about that. Even if it has a Super Bowl defense and a Super Bowl coach and a Super Bowl infrastructure, that's a really important position. But if you could have one more Pro Bowler somewhere else on that field offensively, you have lessened your chances of being hurt by the fact that your quarterback can't play. Does that make sense? Like, you're building insurance on worst-case scenarios. And maybe they draft another QB2 and start phasing, you know, Ellinger's all right, and maybe they start phasing Stiddy out. I doubt that. So I think that's the frustration, and I totally get it, and I think it's totally valid. While, again, also pointing out, you're still an elite franchise right now, and you're on the upswing, and that's true too.
I just don't know how, you know. And again, I had a mutual friend of ours on the other day, Benjamin Albright, covering mm-hmm. the Broncos, and I know he's certainly going against the grain on this one. Like, oh no, they're fine, everything's fine. I just don't know how you could be one of the leaders in drops, and you know, wide receiver, tight end. I get the running back thing. I love J.K. Dobbins. I don't know if that's how you,
right.
You know,
it's just health.
Yeah, it's health.
He's a Pro Bowl player for 9 weeks.
Right.
You just have to know it's a 9-week Pro Bowl player, and the other eight you got to cover.
Yeah.
Period.
And
that's simple.
It'd be one thing if it was just a season or two, but this has been his going back to even past or before his time in the NFL. He's had injuries throughout his entire football life, it seems like. So.
Yep.
It's a scary way to live. But on the receiver and tight end thing, I get it. The tight ends weren't – I think Isaiah Likely maybe was the best tight end in the free agent market this year. But he's better than anybody. Evan Engram was all right. I don't think he lived up to that expectation. It's just bizarre to me that you were one of the worst teams in terms of drops, and you're not throwing anything at any type of receiver or tight end. And I guess, like you said, they're hopeful the guys on this roster work out. At the receiver side, and maybe there seems to be a lot of good tight ends in this draft, and maybe they just fall in love with a guy in the draft.
Yeah, I think to your second point about the draft, I think they're looking skill somewhere, but they may not look with that for. I'm telling you, they're going to draft JFM's replacement. Doesn't it feel that way if they're at that pick? Keep that pick late first. That just feels like where you take the best run stopper on the board. It just feels like that. It's going to be so boring, and people are just going to freak out again. Because, and yet, that's a sound decision. That's going well. We have a hole now. We have a really good, you know, interior, you know, IDL rotation. Let's find another guy, and we can plug and play. Culture. I've talked to Benjamin about this too. And other folks, and they bring up the culture thing that, look, this is – and it's – and again, it's true. This is a good locker room. This is a good place of people where everybody gets it. Everybody in their individual units get it. Everybody in their individual rooms gets it. Vance likes what he's got. Webb clearly likes what he's got. Sean likes what he likes. And, again, you don't need to overhaul this. I think – what we're dickering about, again, both on radio and in bars and in private and online, is that you just needed like one thing or maybe two, to your point. It's like if you had just not even splashed for a tight end, but put up for one of these high catch percentage wideouts, it's there. And you still could. This thing is a marathon, not a sprint. This extended period. I mean, when did – I believe Dobbins came aboard. Was it April? Was it after the draft? I want to say April or May because they already had Harvey at that point. I mean, this is a process, and it's a marathon. You do the splashy stuff right at the start in the sprint. They didn't do that. They looked at it and said, everybody else can go buy and repair where they want to repair, and then we'll clean up afterwards. That's a strategy. It is one. However, hope is not one. And development is, hope is not. So, you're putting a lot of faith in that draft. You're putting a lot of faith in Davis Webb and in Peyton's trust and relationship and how they divvy up that power structure. But hope is not. Hope, again, I'm back to the biggest insult I can give as a White Sox fan. Hope is not a strategy. That is a White Sox strategy. This will get better. I'm sure we'll figure this out. No, you've got to have a plan. But again, in their defense, we're trending forward, right? Like, I'm not sure you can trend forward from 15-4 other than winning it all, but you need to keep that baseline. Maybe not literally in bringing everybody back from a 14-3 team, but, you know, now it's about maintaining. And maintaining, man, long-winded, I know. Maintaining in the NFL is the hardest thing to do. It's a socialist setup. It is designed to knock down the rich. It is designed to spread out the wealth. It is designed for parity. This is the hardest thing, and that is going to be Sean Payton, George Payton, the Penners. This is their challenge. When you've reached, they're at the precipice of the mountaintop. Staying there is awfully, awfully hard. And maintaining everybody, bringing everybody back to try to assure that is a strategy. But no, hope is not one. That's not about.
Yeah, it's just been a somewhat confusing offseason, I'll say. Keeler, great stuff from you as always, my friend. Nuggets tonight, Spurs, is Wimby playing? Do you like the Nuggets doing the unthinkable tonight? The Spurs have won 16 of their last 17 games? They are ridiculous right now.
20 of their 30. I don't know if Wimby's going to go. I imagine he's going to try because he wants to wave a book at Nikola. I can imagine the stories that two of them have. Nikola is his wacky uncle from Serbia. I didn't think you can. I think you better. Good win last night. Good momentum. I mean, someone asked me the other day, how important are these games this month? God, they're huge, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
We're out of that. We're into it now. You're a month out of the playoffs. You're 2 months away from getting to the Final Four in your bracket. You got to do it. Like, this is it. And we're coming on the year anniversary of the great bloodletting in early April, and I'll be really curious to do an inventory in 2-3 weeks of where the Nuggets are compared to where they were a year ago. So yeah, I think they can do it. I think you got to keep building that momentum. You run out of wiggle room. It's done. I mean, what were they, a game and a half up out of the playoff a play-in spot the other day, and a game and a half out of fourth or third. I mean, there's just so much fluidity between 3 and 7 that you gotta step up. And these Western Conference games, these Western Conference home games, which are used to be automatic, and are not a given anymore. They're just massive. So you got to do it. You're out of, you're done playing with your food. You got to eat or you're going to starve.
Yeah. No, it's a jumbled mess in those standings for sure. Sean, appreciate you, my man. Love your work. Available at the Denver Post, denverpost.com. And we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, brother.
All right, man. Sean Keeler. 43 minutes after the hour, Michael. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.